All right, book of Psalms, Psalms chapter number two. And I just want to give us some things tonight that'll be a help to us. And we had another wonderful day. We still have a lot of people battling sickness. And so there was a lot of people out. But we rejoice in the goodness of God and all that He has done. And we had a Sunday school class, the Mandarin Bible class that was shared with me today. They've been putting journals with invites in these neighborhood libraries where you can go. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Library books you read. Okay. And somebody found the invite, scanned a QR code, and Ubered to the Bible class this morning. And so there are people out there who want to know what the Bible says. Then they actually were in the service this morning. And then y'all remember, think back to last year, right before Christmas, I challenged, encouraged, made you pass out 5,000 Christmas invites. Y'all remember that? Well, there was a man in church this morning that said that he had that Christmas invite on his table since then and finally came today and enjoyed the service. And so these are just examples of seed being planted. We don't always see the results, but our job is just to sow the seed. God is up to the results, and I really believe this. I believe there's going to be people in heaven that got one of those Bibles, and you'll never know it down here. I believe there's going to be people in heaven who we left those invites, and they trusted Christ as their Savior. I believe that. And so let's just keep putting that seed out and let God do what only God can do. And He's the one that brings the increase. But I thought I'd share those two testimonies tonight to be an encouragement and a blessing. And I knew some of you would have a hard time finding the book of Psalms. And so I wanted to give you plenty of time to do that. Psalms chapter number 2, we're going to read verse 1 through 4. And then I'm going to use this passage to build the message on and be very practical and end with some things to keep to get us thinking. A lot of times when you use the word prophecy, some people, they get excited about that. Some people get scared about that. I would say every preacher gets a little nervous because what if we're wrong? Well, truth of the matter is, we don't know everything that God is going to do. We can't master the Scripture. But I think we can look at it practically, doctrinally, and scripturally. And tonight I want us to think, and I just want us to build on this morning when I reminded us and encouraged us all. First of all, the nation of Israel is not a political issue. And don't let a podcaster turn it into that. It is not a political issue. It is a doctrinal, biblical, scriptural issue. And I'll just say again, because I like to say it and I like to hear it, if God will keep His word, His covenant to Israel, He'll keep His word to you and I. And that ought to encourage us. But I'm going to give us some practical things for us to be thinking on when it comes to the end of the service. It's okay if you think with me before then, but I want to leave those things. And so I'll move through the outline fairly quickly tonight to get to that, to the end of the message. But Psalms chapter number 2, look with me, verse number 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Tonight I want to speak on, I've entitled this, When the Nations Rage. When the nations rage, and we're going to talk about, I'll mention Israel prophecy in God's unchanging, unshakable plan. The turmoil that takes place in our world that might surprise us is not surprising God. In fact, He told us it's going to happen. And so let's ask God to help us tonight. Father, we come to You once again grateful for what we've already seen, what we've already heard, just the testimonies of new ministries and new Sunday school classes. And Father, I pray that You would just bless these few moments tonight as we look once again into Your Word and consider these truths. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The world never feels stable. And there's a reason why it doesn't feel stable, because it's not. We're living in days when the news cycle is going to change by the hour. If we listen to all of the experts, this is like World War XII, because we're going to have 7 or 8 world wars in the last 3 or 4 years. But I say all that to say that we are not governed by what men think. We're not governed even by what the world does. And this is the world we live in. We hear the words war, retaliation. There's going to be escalation and threat. That's just the conversation. And we look at the Middle East, and we know the Middle East certainly is the focus of even what's taking place today. And then you have everybody posturing. Nations posture, people posture based on the things that are taking place in the world. Then you have leaders threatened. You have all of those different things. And there's some who they look at that, and even God's people, we sometimes are tempted to panic. We've got to be careful speculating. We even have to be careful chasing every prophetic rabbit trail. We certainly do not want to let the media interpret Scripture for us. See, what we must do as the church, we must stop listening to the raging and start listening to the Word of God. See, you know, I'll go jump right into this. It's this psalm is not a psalm. I preached a couple of weeks ago on Psalm 23, and David is that psalm, that traveling psalm, as I worded it. He's going through the valley. Psalms 2 is not written for a stable time. That's the backdrop, is a unstable time, a raging one. And let me just give you the first statement, that the Bible expects, predicts the nations to rage. That question, why do the heathen rage, is not a question of shock or surprise. It's not confusion. It is actually a question of certainty. The nations, the heathen, are raging, and this is why they're raging. There's a reason why they're raging. And certainly you can take the heathen and you can put whatever category, but the point I want to make tonight, there are nations that rage about different things. We should not be surprised when there's international conflicts. I alluded to this morning. I don't want to get bogged down here, but let me encourage you to read history. If you read your Bible and you read history, you'd be okay. You don't have to get the opinion of what everybody else is saying about what history is today, because history repeats itself. History predicts what's going to happen. But there's always been conflict. It's going to be until King Jesus makes everything right. So I'm saying this to say we should not be surprised by whatever happens. Our Lord said in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, "Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." But what does He say? He says, "See that ye be not troubled." He didn't say, when there's wars and rumors of wars, stop everything. You got to figure out the timeline so you can predict exactly the next event. He just said, don't be troubled. He didn't say that you got to decode everything. And can I help us at the risk of hurting some of your feelings? Everything that happens, there's not a code behind it. It's not the bat signal. This is what's going to happen next. My responsibility is what Jesus said, don't be troubled. I got to know the reason behind everything. You're not going to know the reason behind everything. And if you knew it, you couldn't handle it. My job is just not to be troubled in the world that we live in. He didn't say be afraid. He said be not troubled. He didn't say it'd be easy. You know, our nation has been in conflicts. It's our history. Blood's been shed. Lives have even been lost, American lives, in the last 24 hours. That's not a little thing. But whatever happens, He says, see that you're not troubled. We're not to fear. Because even if something unexpected takes place, God is still in control. See, this is something that we have to be careful on, because we get excited about prophecy, and sometimes people get all and it's important for us to understand we shouldn't run from prophecy, but there's more in this Bible than what's going to happen. There are things that we're supposed to do today, but prophecy is not something that It's used to create panic. It's to tell what is going to happen. And I could really go down a rabbit trail there, but I'm not going to do that. So it says statement number one, the Bible expects the nations to rage. Number two, Israel remains central to God's prophetic program. You don't interpret prophecy in Scripture from an American viewpoint. We're not the center of everything. Christ is the center of everything. And the people who are the center of everything are His chosen people. Are you out there tonight? So prophecy is not about you and I. I'm going to get to this, but it's about Jesus coming. The end times are about Jesus. And I said this, and I think everybody's on the same page with me tonight. If you're not, you just nod your head and pretend you are. But I've said this through everything that we've seen. We've seen this through elections, through COVID, through all of these different things that are new and unique to this period of time. And it's like, is this a sign? And I just get tired of it. Is this a sign of the Antichrist? The Bible does not talk about the Antichrist coming. It talks about Jesus coming. What do you think is this person? I don't care. I'm not going to be here. I'm gone. I'm raptured out of here. And if you're saved, you will be too. You say, well, I think we're going to be here. And my favorite political podcaster said we're going to be here. Well, he don't know what he's talking about. The rapture is going to take place. Israel is the center of God's prophetic program. So it's important for us to understand that. Israel is not important because of the headlines of the day. Israel is important because of what we read this morning in Romans 11:29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Now I remind you, when Paul wrote that, Israel wasn't experiencing a revival. It was a period of unbelief. It was not during a time of peace. And Paul is reiterating on behalf of God that God has not changed His mind. That covenant, I remind us again tonight, was not temporary. It wasn't a political maneuver or conditional upon world approval. We have nations today, we're not recognizing the existence of Israel. So what? They still exist. They're still God's chosen people. God doesn't need the United Nations to sign off on anything. And if we're not careful, we will let a secular political system, this is what I mean sometimes, we let our patriotism get in the way of our Christianity. And I like to think I'm as patriotic as the next guy. I want to honor our American heritage. I'm thankful for our American heritage. I'm proud to be an American. But my citizenship is not here. My citizenship is where the Bible says it is. As a child of God, it's in heaven. Are you saved tonight? If you're saved, that's where your citizenship is. And what we are is we are ambassadors. That's why we're still here. He saved us. We belong to Him. God says He wants us home. When God calls a saint home, we shed tears because we're missing them and separating from them. But heaven's not crying. God is saying that race is done. I want them precious in the sight of the Lord. They're coming home. They're where they're, but my child is home. Think about when you have a child that's left home and they come back to visit. Well, that may not be a good illustration. Some of you may not be happy about that, but you get the point I'm making. God is glad to have us home. So why are we still here? We're ambassadors. See, it wasn't a temporary thing. It's central. So this is why some churches get off doctrinally, because they are not looking at through the lens of Scripture. And if you'll permit me to say it again tonight, they're looking through the lens of Fox News. They're looking through the lens of a political party agenda. Now, we can have certain principles, and I think you should vote, and I think you should vote as close as you can to what lines up with Scripture. But the Savior is not of flesh and blood. He's already come. He fulfilled His purpose. He went back to the right hand of the Father, and He's coming again. If we're not careful, we think it's all about us. It's about Him. So I think we understand that, and this helps us, and, you know, because we have social media, you have the clips and the headlines that come to our phones, we're inundated with it, and so if we're not careful, our mindset can get changed without even realizing it. Because if we're honest, we don't realize how many of the world's headlines we see compared to how much Scripture we read. And so we have to be reminded of these things. Let me say number three. Aren't you proud of how fast I'm moving through these? Prophecy warns us against sensationalism. Everything doesn't have to be made sensational. Do you know that every generation has believed it was living in the final days? Did you know every generation has lived in the final days? Well, how do you reconcile that? Because that's what the Bible says. What do I mean by that? Every generation, and this will help you if you'll let it tonight. Every generation has seen wars, rumors of wars, threat of wars, alliances, good and bad. Yet Scripture restrains any generation from saying, this is the event that the next event is the trumpet sounding. If you're going to predict that Jesus is coming on this day, you're going to be made a fool. Because it's not about us making something sensational. I hope you don't miss this. It's about everyday obedience, every day serving God, every day I'm an ambassador, every day I'm looking for Him to come. But we want to be able to say, did you hear what Trump said? That's code for. No, you don't know what he means by it. But I know what Jesus said. Man, we'd be a lot less frustrated, wouldn't we? If we just said, I'm not going to turn everything into... So how do we know? Are we supposed to be watching the signs? Absolutely. And I believe we as Christians, and I'm being very general and lumping us all in the same pile, we as Christians have failed very much so at looking for Christ's return, for understanding Christ's return. We lack discernment in understanding what's going on in our day. But He never intended for any generation. There is going to be a final generation. I pray it's our, in our day, that trump sounds and we're just in the clouds with Him. But there is going to be that generation when the trumpet sounds and the rapture takes place. But the Bible never allows for anybody to say, this is. Because this happened, I know that. Because in every generation there's been interpretation that made sense in that generation. But God has revealed more with the next generation. Does that make sense? Let me put it like this. Jesus made a teaching, an illustration about a woman in travail. What we are seeing, if I can say it like this, are birth pains. Not the birth itself. Now you may look at me and say, Pastor, I don't think you're an expert on birth pains. I'm not. Doesn't compare to a man's cold, but, you know, whatever. Some of you are going to be mad the rest of the service, but think about it. Birth pains, the closer you get to the birth, they increase in frequency. Ladies, am I right? They increase in intensity. And as they increase in frequency and increase in intensity, what does that signal? That signals their birth is getting closer. The only time you experience that is not there at the, it builds, it signals nearness. But even though you can tell that it is coming, you might even predict it's coming soon, you cannot predict the exact moment. See, the Bible does not tell us to connect every missile launch to a verse of Scripture. It tells us that in every crisis that makes the headlines, for us to be faithful. It's even more important now for God's people to be doctrinally sound, to be secure in the Word of God. This is why the Sunday School series this year is study to show thyself approved. God's people have got to study again. God's people have got to be in the Bible again. God's people have got to be willing to say, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night Bible study is not enough. I got to learn these things because it's getting closer and closer. It means the events are more frequent. They're going to be intense. You cannot make it sensational because we want to show everybody how smart we are. Number four, and I have more than four. God is not threatened by world powers. This is what we got to be reminded of. Whenever you get frustrated with some of this stuff, just look at verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. That is not mockery as much as it is sovereignty. Nations rise, nations fall. Empires threaten, leaders boast. I'm not saying we as a sovereign nation should not be concerned about our enemies. I'm not saying as a sovereign nation we should not protect ourselves. Absolutely we should. As a sovereign nation, we should protect our borders. We should protect our nation. We should have laws that allow us to protect ourselves. Government is not here to control us or to meet our needs. It's to protect us, give us the liberty and freedom to protect and provide for ourselves. There are enemies out in, who want to hurt us and harm us. I'm for it. But God's not afraid of China. God's not afraid of Russia. God's not afraid of those that we might fear. He's not afraid of world powers. I love this, and maybe your brain doesn't work like mine, and you should be thankful for that. He that sitteth in the heavens that laugh. These boastings of these heathen doesn't even get him to his feet. You ever had somebody pitching a fit and you're just like, oh, you're not even paying attention? God is so sovereign. He is sitting in the heavens. He's so in control. He doesn't have to rush to intervene. He's not getting nervous. He's not reacting when he's reigning. So the world is spiraling out of control. No, it's going according to as God sees that it's going to go. That includes everything that takes place in this world. Now, let me, you can call this number five, but just for the sake of making you happy, I'll say the word conclusion. There's 6 points in the conclusion. No, there's not. There's not six. There's four. And of course, this is not a long study on prophecy tonight, but just to establish some facts, establish some things, and we'll probably get into some of these things on these Sunday nights as we continue this thought. With establishing that we are not the center of the prophetic nature of this book. Christ is. We're not even the people. Israel is. Prophecy actually calls the church some things that we are to do. If we look at it rightly, if it's preached rightly, it's going to do several things. First of all, it's going to produce sobriety, not fear. A soberness or a seriousness, not a fear. Oh, you know, everything that in that our nation's gone through, and it's in a mess, it's been in a mess. You know, my mind goes back to COVID and all of the fear-mongering. We're not called. That's a natural thing for us to get afraid. It's in our nature. But the church should not fear what's going on in this world. It should bring us, when we read Scripture, we say, oh, the Bible talks about that. Could this be? It should produce a seriousness. Every generation has had this call, but certainly I would appeal to the younger generation in our church. In the days we live in, you believe Jesus is coming back, you believe it's imminent, there's a seriousness that ought to produce. And I thank God for America. I think you know that. I thank God for the American dream. But the American dream has sidelined a lot of God's people. There ought to be some soberness, some seriousness. If He's coming back, if chaos is leading to Christ's return, if things have got to take place and be in order before Jesus calls us home, man, the hour is short. We have to do what we can do to see people saved and to get the gospel and to plant the seed. And we've got to do all of those things. I love to hear the connection that Brother Wade brought up. Could the seed they're planting, is it that close? It could be, but what if it's not? We don't know that. There ought to be some soberness, some seriousness. That's a great illustration. There's a prophecy that says this is going to take place in the nation of Israel. Somebody's got to sow that seed. The gospel is not just going to fall from heaven and they're going to magically be saved. Every man comes to Christ the same way. That seed is going to have to be laid. There's going to be a revival in our nation. The seed is going to have to be planted. There's going to have to be a generation that says, I'll burn my dreams, just like there was through our history when young men said, we'll give up our future and we'll go fight for our nation. We'll give up our future and we'll shed our blood and give our life. There's a different kind of call today. We're winning wars with the push of a button. I'm not minimizing the sacrifice and the danger that our servicemen are in today. It's real. I understand that. But it's a modern technology today. We need a call of Christian young men and young ladies to say, we've got to get the gospel out. You realize if Jesus came back tonight, how exciting that would be? But you couldn't witness to your coworker again. You couldn't take the opportunity with your neighbor again. There ought to be some soberness that comes, not fear. And avoid the conspiracy theories too. I'll bow so you can slip out. Now, I believe this, truth is stranger than fiction. And the fingerprints of God are very evident and very real. It produces that seriousness, not fear. It also, if prophecy is looked at correctly for the church, it should, I've already alluded to this, it should strengthen and increase, and I'll use the word evangelism. Winning of souls. Great commission. It ought to light a fire unto us. You know, use that same illustration the Lord alluded to when those birth pains get more frequent. They get more intense. Honey, I think it's time. Whatever. You said that last week, and here we are. Well, now, you're not going to recover from that necessarily. You get my point? Oh, we like in our churches, we like in our Baptist churches, don't we? Let's get excited. Let's shout the house down. Let's rejoice. Jesus is coming back, and I'm not minimizing that. He's coming back. Hey, we got to be ready for Him. We got to be looking for Him. And I'm not going to be here when all that takes place. I'm raptured out of here, but then we don't tell a soul that He's coming. When the opposite should take place, maybe we should cancel our week-long prophecy conferences and have a week-long soul-winning conference. End-time teaching should fuel missions instead of the opposite. Next, it reinforces prayer. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, I exhort therefore. There's an emphasis on prayers for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority. Right now we are, call it whatever you want to call it, war with Iran. Their leadership is being removed. Every Christian, our prayer should not be necessarily for an American-friendly leader in there, but for whatever takes place, for it to open to the gospel. That's how kings should be prayed. God sets them up, takes them down. We ought to be praying for peace, for wisdom, for salvation of all men. And then this is where I really want to get to. If end-time teaching prophecy is correctly looked at, taught, it centers us on Christ's return. See, I mentioned that it's not about the United States of America in prophecy. I think we're important. We're important because God's used us to get the gospel. We're important because we are the mightiest nation on the earth, and we are an ally of God's people. God has used us in that capacity. But when it comes to the future, it doesn't center around us. We've already established that. But the future is not even about Israel. I've already mentioned it. The book of Revelation doesn't say, "Even so come, Israel." It says, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." See, if we properly interpret the future events in this book, it sets our mind, our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, on His return. This is why this is so important. And as your pastor, I'm going to keep reminding you. And by the way, I don't know how involved you are in politics or not. I don't know what news you watch or not. I don't know what podcasts you listen to or don't listen to. And some of you don't even know what that is, and that's okay. But we are inundated with it, and it matters. It matters because if it's how they interpret it outside of Scripture, it's not about Jesus. It's not about His return. It's not about His pouring out of His wrath. It's not about those who have rejected Him. That's what it's all about. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ calling His people home and then establishing Himself as the King of kings and Lord of lords. I don't believe in the rapture. We need to read your Bible. And again, don't get your theology off of the internet. And don't, there ain't much you can get off of the internet. But it's Christ's return we should be looking for. I want to use my words carefully because I don't want to be misconstrued. I don't want to get excited when we go into conflict like we're in, because lives are lost. But the right word escapes me because there's another event that gets us one step closer. And of all these things, and you have to be, should I do it? It's going to come out eventually. We need to be careful with America first. And I know I've lost, if I hadn't lost it before now, I'm telling you, my brain is different. I've been corrupted by Scripture. I'm sorry. From the standpoint of, I have patriotic pride. And the whole mindset of, we ought to put America first before we put any other nation. We ought to put America first before we let those who aren't even supposed to be here. We ought to take care of our veterans before we take care of those who came in our country illegally. That's just priority. So I'm okay with all of that. But it ain't America first when it comes to that book. It ain't America first when it comes to how we're supposed to treat God's chosen people. And there's a lot of that. Well, why are we doing this? And they don't understand it. It's because they have no knowledge of that book. It's just, we got to be careful. Everybody okay? It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I certainly am not going to vote for somebody who's America last. I do not even want a president that's America second. You get what I'm saying? There's a balance there, but the devil is good at hijacking things. He's good at taking things and twisting them for his advantage. And that's even happened in our own nation by those who would say, we're for the Lord Jesus. But if we don't interpret it right, we say, well, there is no rapture. We're going to be here and through all of this, and this is the great tribulation. No, they haven't read the Bible. Because I don't see beasts coming out of the ground. I don't see the waters turning to blood. This world cannot, Hollywood can't make a film that would describe what's going to happen during the tribulation. And friend, that's why if you don't know Christ, you need to know Him. Well, I hope this has made sense. It makes sense up here before it comes out. But just set our focus, just set it on, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. The news is going to be dominated by the events of the day, which makes sense. But let's make sure we're filtering things through Scripture and not through whatever news source that you get your news from. Let's filter it through. It's not about us. It's about Him. And everything that takes place, it just seems like everywhere we look, there's another, we'll say it like this, there's another domino, there's another domino, there's another domino. Does this mean that this is? The Bible never tells us that there'll be a generation. Why would He say, if we could know the exact hour and the day and the time, why would He say watch every day? Why would He say like a thief in the night? Not expecting it. A lot of God's people are going to be caught off guard because we didn't just pay attention, or we allowed the noise of today. You know, some of you probably looked at me like crazy when I said, when I get in the car, I don't want the radio on. I want nothing on. I want quiet. And if that's not you, that's okay. I'm not upset at you. But it's like, well, I gotta always have the news on. That's why you're going crazy. Some of you stay scared because that news station is on all day long. Because they have to sensationalize everything. And you'd be amazed how much peace and calm would come to your life if you get the agitators out of it. The Bible tells us what we need to know. So let's just stay grounded in the Scripture. Stay grounded in the Word of God. Pray for our nation. God's covenant is with Israel. He's blessed us because we have blessed them. And if nothing else, I'm thankful that we have a president who I think understands that. We're living in a day that there's so much false teaching in the... I touch on this a little bit in my book, Satan's Culture. I could talk... Do you want me to stop? Okay, me and Leroy, we're going to go. But I think this helps us, and I will stop in just an hour or so. I don't even remember what I was going to say. But Satan has our culture. He has our government. You know why? Because we're one nation under God, and we have drifted from God. The average, you go through our public schools, you're not going to get real history. I know I keep beating that drum, but read a history book. You say, well, what do I read? Come ask me. I'll tell you what to read. And I'll give you, I mean, how many pages? Or is it a coloring book? Or what are we doing? You know, crayons included, stickers, what? I mean, just give me the parameters there. The point is that we need to look at things the proper way. Hey, let's look for Jesus to come this week. You see the headlines this week? Don't just look at it from the sensational standpoint. Get the information, stay informed, but it ought to cause us to pray. Pray for our own nation. Pray for the people of Israel. Pray for the people around the world. You know what took place in Venezuela not too long ago? Brother Gray, I think you've been there. My dad used to say that was one of the preaching there with Brother Hiles and some of those men. It was one of the places the churches were the most on fire, revival. It wasn't about a communist regime. It was about squelching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we got to pull back from the headlines and look at it from God's point of view and the spiritual battle that we're in. It is good versus evil, but that doesn't mean Republicans versus Democrats. It's not even capitalism versus socialism. It's God who is truth, God who is right, and Satan, who opposes everything that God is for. So let's keep these things in mind. I hope this helps tonight. And let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we come to you grateful for...